Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another night of Fandom Access. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, we got a slam-bang show tonight. And as soon as the ladies get here, we will get rocking and rolling, because we got a lot going on. So, and look, without further ado, I have a co-host. Good evening.
Hi, AJ. How are you?
I'm good and cannot wait to talk about Snowpiercer.
I know. I'm really looking forward to that. And unfortunately, we're probably going to bring it in the second half of our show, at least. Not near the end.
Well, yeah.
We'll get through some before that. It was great, wasn't it?
Oh, my God, amazing. So much fun those 2 hours.
Yeah, I think
really,
we're going to,
really good television.
For the first time in months, we're all going to agree, I think, on a show. It's going to be great.
I don't know. Jamie doesn't sound like she likes it very much.
Actually, Jamie seemed to really, it might have been a little more affected by him. It was kind of a dark episode, for sure, on a dark show.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a dark show.
Mm-hmm. Some of my friends on Zoom about some other kind of stuff, and just about meeting up, right? And one of my friends brought up, she's like, do you guys like dystopian shows? Did you ever watch the show called Snowpiercer? Oh, sorry, there goes the ambulance on my house. It was funny that this friend of mine, who we don't really ever talk about TV or this stuff, she called it dystopian like 3 times, and I was like, well, yeah, it is. I think that we don't really always use that word because so much of what we watch is dystopian, right?
True.
But Snowpiercer is really a dystopian future.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Sorry, taking a pill. I'm fine. How are
she's
you
taking
guys?
A pill because she's so depressed from Snowpiercer.
Yeah, pretty much. No, that actually had a decent ending. I was surprised. I was ready to yell at it, but it had a decent ending.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't
we
you
got
ladies
a pretty big show tonight.
Yeah, you guys get going on The Walking Dead and Winona, and then I'll rejoin you.
Oh, crap. I didn't look up Winona. That was kind of dumb. You're going to have to remind
me
what it's about.
As soon as I talk about it, you'll remember. Let's talk about Walking Dead, and Jamie... We never discussed last week, so I'd love to spend, only a few minutes talking about, can you remember, last week's episode, which was Princess trapped in the boxcar, and she was pretty much hallucinating what was going on around her.
Yep.
Remember that? Yep. How'd you like that? We never talked about it last week.
I'm placing a credit card order. This is probably not good to do when I'm on the phone trying to do this.
That's okay.
No,
I'll talk for a second while you...
20 things at once. No, it's okay.
Can you order some stuff for me while you're at it?
Yeah, sure. You give me the money. I had to order a book. But anyway, I guess last week was better than this week because more happened. But I didn't mind getting her backstory. I didn't like that it was all in her head because I thought at least that much they could have. I mean, we know that it's not going to affect what happens in the new season, so I figured they're not going to reveal whether or not they're good or bad. I kind of, expected that.
Right.
But I don't know. The fact that she didn't even talk to anybody and that we don't even know anything about anything, I mean, I guess I'm not surprised per se, but annoyed. But other than that, it was a decent episode, and I didn't mind hearing her backstory, and I think she did a good job. I mean, she was good in it. And I don't even remember the actress's name. That's bad. I should. But
her name is Paola Lazaro, I think, is her name. I agree with you that she did a great job, and I kind of liked getting her backstory.
Right.
It was interesting, but it didn't really add anything to but none of these episodes add anything, right? Like, I think if anybody expects to get something out of these, they're not understanding what these episodes are.
Yeah. I guess they're trying to make any money they can. It's just, I don't know. I kind of feel like I should have skipped. Like, what was the point? You know what I mean?
I like her as a character.
No,
and I do like her too.
But
I think I continued to like her, or maybe even liked her more in this episode because she was like, had the chance to leave and she didn't.
Yeah. Kind of got a little nuts in the middle, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's more loyal to Eugene and those guys than they maybe would be to her, considering they met her probably like 1 week ago in Showtime, right?
Yeah, she even said she only knew him like a week or something.
Yeah, but I agree with you. We didn't learn anything about the Commonwealth or who these Stormtrooper guys are, and we don't really understand how much of it. I mean, none of it. It was all in her mind. You know how I feel about things that are in your – you know how much I hate dream sequences, and, like, I really hated that.
I'm not surprised.
And yeah. I really didn't necessarily love that. I think if this character who has very deep trauma was going to hallucinate, would it be – the idea that that Ezekiel appears to her as the voice of – I mean, I get why they did it for the show, but surely there's someone else in her life that it could appear to her as a voice of reason.
Yeah, but it had to be somebody we knew. I mean,
otherwise
it wouldn't make sense.
I mean, she
so.
Was great. The actress was great.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was better than this week, right? Because this week...
Yeah.
Hello.
Well, it's not that this... Let's put it this way. It's not that this week was bad. I mean, I had per se enjoyed seeing Daryl and Carol, even though they fought through it. I think that it was a cute episode. It had its funny moments. It had about dog, like him, you know, jump on the bed, everything. There was cutesy moments. But story-wise, it brought absolutely nothing. I mean, you could have put in the first 5 minutes, the last 5 minutes, and there you go, because the whole point of the story was... Daryl's pissed at Carol, and maybe when he comes back, he's maybe a little bit less pissed. And that's it. And he found food and shit, and she made him soup, and that's, like, the whole episode. I mean, but like I said, some of it was funny. Like, the parts of her chasing after the rat, although Walking Dead shouldn't be funny, but her chasing after the rat and everything and, you know, knocking her wall down, she got a little extreme there. I would say actually probably the best parts of it were, I think, her and Jerry. Surprisingly, because they had a little bit of chats and him trying to help her knowing she was upset. Again, not that anything happened. I think this episode was mostly just kind of about where her and Daryl are, you know, headspace-wise and how they're feeling. And Carol feels like nobody wants her there. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But she definitely feels like there's nothing for her to do and she's not being needed, I guess. So Jerry kind of helps her out there a little bit and talks to her. And she's finally just like, I had a really shitty day, is basically what she said. Which, that was an understatement.
So I really totally agree with your summary of the episode. And I think that, I agree with you that we didn't really need this episode to tell us that Carol was on the outs with the group. Like, we've known that ever since the cave when, you know, Carol made some decisions like 8 or 10 episodes ago that have put her on the outs with the group.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really need this episode to show us that. And to continue, we already had a Carol and Daryl episode.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, it was really a Daryl episode, but we already know they're sort of estranged. And as you and I discussed on text, we already know that Carol and Daryl are getting a spinoff episode. So we know they're relationship repaired. We know they're not going to break up. So it was a waste of time.
Yeah, and I was going to say, let's be honest, this whole season's been a waste of time, these whole last few episodes. I mean, I think the first episode we got with Maggie coming back, I think felt a little bit less like a waste of time, and I think it's just because, Maggie's back, not because we really needed that. But, like, at least it felt more like an episode, and then the other ones have been so individual, it's not per se that it was bad, we just didn't learn anything. Like, I have to say, at least the one with Princess, we learned something new because we learned about her backstory. And, like, next week, might suck, it's about Negan, but we're going to learn about his backstory. Like, I didn't really, although I did enjoy the one with Gabriel and Aaron. I did like that.
Yes, and we learned,
I liked
and
Robert
we learned
Patrick
about their
it,
development,
but it
right? The, yeah,
right.
They
but I mean,
characters already, in that episode.
Right, but I mean, like, we already knew about them. They've already been developed. Like, at least her is new information. Negan's going to be new information. Again, not that any of them we needed, but at least theirs are going to be something that we didn't, I guess, no, in that sense. And like I said, I feel like the first one with Maggie, I feel like gave us a little bit because we kind of got caught. I mean, I feel like that one actually did have some information because that kind of caught us up to what was happening while they were gone.
Well, I
which
think,
they,
I think
sure
maybe
put the premiere, but
I think maybe the previous four all gave us a little something, and this week's episode with Carol and Daryl gave us really nothing. This was really the one that contributed nothing in my mind. We got a little bit about, we learned about Maggie, we learned about Gabriel and, you know, Aaron and their development. We learned about Carol having a girlfriend. We learned about this and that. But this week's episode, to me, we learned really nothing. Like, most of it was about, we had a whole episode about Carol making soup and chasing a rat. And we learned that she feels a little bit ostracized and not needed. Okay, we get that. And we learned
that
Daryl's in the woods. Like, we really didn't learn anything. And we already knew they had a strained relationship. If this was about Carol and Daryl, like, nothing really changed from 2, 3, 4, 5
episodes ago, right? Although he got a lot of gun clips. He got a lot of gun clips and no gun. So there you go.
Well, that might be the most important thing. Like, I noticed
right,
that
he got no gun. Yeah. I thought it was funny. But, yes, if they have a gun that's bullet fit, then it's a good thing.
And that those were all military guys that he found, right? They were all military
guys. Yes, I did notice
that.
I think that was important. But that was maybe the only part. You know, the thing is I kept feeling like surely something's going to happen. Surely something bad's going to happen. It's like Carol. She's going to break open that wall. There's going to be a walker. She's going to find something important. Nope. Daryl, something's going to attack him. Even Carol, when there was like 10 zombies or whatever, she kills them in like 5 seconds. They didn't even show it. I think that was because of COVID that it was shown far away. So I can get that.
I guess,
But it's like, Daryl, there's a zombie. Well, he kills it in 2 seconds. Like, there was no... Like, there'd be, like, like 5 seconds worth of thrilling, like, something's going to happen, and then 10 seconds later, be like, nope, that's it. That was a waste.
Well,
and, again, I really like both of them. They're my favorite characters. But, I mean, if I want to see them just, like, having a day, I'll, like, read fanfic. I don't need to see that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's kind of senseless.
Yeah.
Although, like I said, I did like the scene with Barry. I do have to say that. It was nice to see him. But that's, like, really the only thing I feel like.
I mean, I guess I was a little surprised to not see Daryl come home and say, by the way, you guys, I found a whole army squadron not a whole army squadron. I found like a patrol, like 3 or 4 guys, army guys, killed in the woods.
Yeah, especially when he was with Maggie when that whole thing went on. So, like, he knows.
Like, that's important information that there's military guys in the area. Maybe there's other places, right? And then
actually,
he's like
dead, but yeah.
I mean, maybe that's a side thing that we'll see. I do think mostly an entire episode dedicated to Carol and Daryl's like strained relationship, to me was a waste of my time because we know they get a spinoff. We know they have another show coming.
Well,
like I think if the Walking Dead people had a better strategy. And they hadn't revealed that yet, then we'd all be like, oh, my God, Carol and Daryl, what's happening? It's been
but they always reveal that. They always reveal that.
I know.
But I have to say,
I don't 100%
agree with what you're saying. Like I can put in mind one about Carol and Daryl's strained relationship, and I get what you're saying. We don't need it. But I wouldn't have minded so much if it was about their strained relationship, but it's the point that they didn't even really talk. I mean, it was like the two were separated. Which is why it was even more senseless. If it had been like them hashing it out, that may have been okay, but it wasn't.
Neither of them actually.
Daryl looking for
anything.
Bike parts and her making soup.
Daryl's got
no,
bike parts
didn't.
And Carol's looking for soup parts, and nothing happens. And you and I talked
and
on text about
she
how.
And the other thing is somehow she re. See now I'm gonna blank. She re. I want to say upholstered. That's definitely not the right word. She re-put all the re-drywalled. She re-drywalled her wall in like one afternoon or whatever. How the hell did that happen? Because it seemed like from what she was doing, she was completely done fixing it when they came back. Like she ripped down the whole wall and built it right back up.
When she started attacking that wall, I was like, Carol, there are no drywall specialists in the apocalypse. When you tear down that wall, it can never be put back, right?
Somehow
and then, like,
she put it back.
Carol shows up like, you look terrible. So do you. Or the part where, like, you and I talked about how she's covered in zombie blood and she just starts making soup with the blood on her face and her filthy gloves on, right? And I was like, really?
Yeah.
Doesn't, like, wash a little bit?
This is my other concern, though. You're saying you're low on food, right? But yet, when the soup you're making drops on the floor, you can't pick it up and use it? I mean, that part, to me, was even more stupid. Like, she could have picked it up and put it back in the damn pot.
And reboiled it and disinfected it if you boil it, right? Yeah.
Right, but even so, I mean, I don't want to say their houses are, like, super clean, like we have them clean, but, I mean, it wouldn't have hurt anything, and she, like, went out to get new food just because of that. Like, I don't know.
So I could tell you, through the entire episode, when Carol's trying to catch that rat, I was sure she was going to put the rat in the soup. When she kept talking about stone soup and she's trying to catch the rat, I was so sure she was going to make
the
rat.
I was just laughing when she said
I thought she was going to put the rat into the soup.
Yeah,
I think in
that
situation,
I kind of hoped not. Yeah, you
I mean,
would.
I think
you
in
would.
That situation,
you
you'd be eating rat. Rats are totally legit.
No, they have some
food. In that, yeah.
Yes, it is.
And
but,
I was like,
but
so
really
first of all, I
that.
Thought she'd eat the rat. And then I thought when she tore down the wall, I told you, I thought there'd be like 100 rats behind that wall. And that
I thought there was
going to
be something
like she,
rather than empty
well,
ball and wire. You
that's
know?
Why I think the reason in my mind I thought there'd be 100 rats because I thought that would justify Carol's mania. For Carol to go after the one rat makes her kind of crazy. But if there was 100 rats, I'd be like, oh, Carol's really smart. She found 100 rats. She got them out of there. But for her to be going crazy and there's one rat, that's sort of like showing that Carol's like really like crazy, obsessed.
Having a bad day.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's why I kept thinking even a body, something. I mean, it was like she ripped it out and there was a tiny bit of insulation and wires. That was real helpful. Yeah, it just was not worth the time watching it. Like
this
I said, they're
not
my favorite characters, but I still am like, no, I want my hour back.
It was the weakest. It was the weakest of the five so far, right? It was the worst of the five.
I don't know.
So
I honestly thought this one at least was entertaining. I hated that Daryl and Carol won last time.
Daryl had a girlfriend
in the woods. Something. Yeah, and it's not that it's about the girlfriend. I just think it was, like, senseless. And I feel like it depends. If that, as much as I don't want her to, if that girl maybe shows up later or is referenced, then maybe it had a point. But if it doesn't, it was a flashback we didn't need. And I don't know. I just found that episode so boring. So,
it was. It's
just bad
that
they're both Daryl Carol ends up saying that. But.
And there's tension in the storytelling between Daryl, like, hiding in the woods and Daryl, like, which Daryl was assuming leadership in the back part of last season, right? And Daryl's kind of the leader of Alexandria right now. And then we see these episodes where he's still like running the woods, and I mean, it's sort of a very dysfunctional situation for the group that your leader, the person you think is your leader, keeps wanting to run out into the like. Supposedly, what we're seeing this week, they've already the Whisperers have gone. Alexandria is destroyed, blah, blah, blah. Not destroyed, but,
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And Daryl goes into the woods for weeks. And of all the people who are elite, like, I get that's Daryl's personality, but I thought last season we were seeing Daryl become
the
leader.
He's also probably the best hunter, but still somebody else could go.
It's not hunting. There's no, right? Like,
well, I think
I don't
he's
know.
Supposed to be. I mean, I assumed he was supposed to be hunting, whether or not
he
actually did.
He was, because he comes
back
and says, like, all the meat's killed. Yeah,
so.
But
yeah.
I just, like, I'm not sure that the show has decided whether Daryl should be assuming a leadership role or still be the, like, let me hide in the woods and be the – and I think the hiding in the woods guy is just not as interesting as we've seen in these two episodes, right? Like a person who's in the woods alone and doesn't talk for a long time is not great television, maybe.
No, but being alone in the woods works with COVID. I mean – I kind of appreciate
okay,
like they're trying to find
me.
Ways, but I think they could do it. I mean, she hugged Jerry. That's the other thing, and it's where I get confused. Like, I get they don't want a lot of people in the scenes, but it's like if you can have them physically touch each other and hug, but yet you don't want to have more than like her and Daryl were like so far apart. Like she's around nobody else. So I don't know. Some of their choices makes me think that it's not all about COVID.
Well, I mean, I think they
unless
were trying
maybe those
to
two
show...
actors feel more comfortable around each other. I mean, I guess it depends.
Well, and they were trying to show a estrangement between Carol and Daryl, like, aside from that, right? They're trying to show us that these two characters, I mean, I guess, really, Daryl was still mad because of Carol and the cave-in, Connie is still missing, right? Like, Connie is missing.
Which those stormtroopers found her, right, at the end of last season? They just haven't gone back to
we
that because
so,
I think they
did. Yeah. Yeah.
Like that. I guess the problem is I shouldn't be using COVID as an excuse for why it's so poor.
No. I mean, well, COVID is why we have these extra six episodes that are not
right.
You've got to remember these are not really part of the season. Extra episodes.
And even if you don't say, well, other shows are doing different things, even if you go by just the way they're doing it, Some of it has been more and less boring. So some of it's definitely the writing for these episodes.
I mean, this was very boring. Of the five we've seen, this was the most boring. Because I think it was not, I don't think their small storytelling was really, whatever the story they were telling of Carol was not interesting. It was not like, it was just not good. Carol making soup and Carol being like,
I mean, they
can
could
you
have
help
even,
me, can I be?
Yeah. But I mean, they could even have had her and Daryl talk and still be mad at the end. I mean, they don't have to change anything before the new season, but they could have at least had something happen. And I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Nothing happened for a whole hour. Nothing happened.
And,
so,
and for Carol to feel left out and for Carol to say to the dog, maybe I should leave. Maybe I should go away. Maybe I should do my own thing. Like, what a
BS thing. She wants to tell her not to go. That's
we know
the
it's
thing.
Not going
to
happen. We already know,
no, I know.
The entire audience knows it's not going to happen. So don't
writers
write that.
You know, you say that, though. I don't know if that's entirely true. I mean, technically, and I'm not saying I think it's going to happen, but I mean, technically, they could be pissed and separated for the whole next season, and then they come together at the very end of the season for the new show.
Yes,
so
right,
what I get
you're
what you're saying, there's that you lose a little bit of that worry, I guess. But, I mean, that's Walking Dead. They spoil everything ahead. So that's
right,
what I got to say.
Everything.
That's what I got to say. At least with Doctor Who, I like that I either get a screener or I watch it when it's on in England because they spoil it so bad here. I this last year did not get spoiled simply because I saw it before the people in America. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
And I hate that. It's like quit putting things in promos. Just quit telling people. Like you ruin it. It didn't used to. I mean, granted, people didn't discuss it like we do now, but you know, online and everything. But still, they tell too many
things. No, but you're right. The Walking Dead spoils everything way worse, like on promos and whatever.
They think
anyway,
that's the only way people will watch. Maybe if they made it good, we'd watch. You know.
So next week, is the Negan episode, which is Negan's backstory, and it's kind of based on, you know, the comic book had a side little comic called Here's Negan, and it was like, I don't know, three or four issues. I think AJ probably read it. That
was it separate from
the
comic
Negan
book
story.
Though, or was it just a, like four?
Yeah, it was
book.
A side. It was like a side thing.
It
was wasn't
side,
in the main story.
Thing.
It was like a side thing, but it was only like a couple issues. Like it was only a couple issues on the side, four issues maybe on the side. That was called Here's Negan, and it was Negan's backstory. It was not part of the main story. But they say that this week's episode is sort of based on it, but maybe not 100% what it was. It's not going to be.
And this
be
is kind
maybe
of another thing where if he's not my favorite character, I don't know that I need it. But I would say out of all of them, I guess I'm slightly interested in seeing it. But I feel like it kind of depends how it goes because the way it's been these last few episodes, I have to feel like I'm not going to be saying this at the end of the episode because this is also the season finale too. Like, we should get something in the season finale. I think they just saved it because it was Negan, and
we'll
that's
see.
What you're getting. So, yeah, we'll
I mean,
have
I
to
think,
see.
I think that you and I feel the same way, that we do not really feel that we want to see Negan redeemed. And there's really
no
– to me, there's nothing in Negan's backstory that justifies what he did, at least
in
terms
of what
we see on the television show.
I guess. I'm interested, but at the same time, I don't care. Like, it's not going to change my opinion of him, but I'm kind of curious, like, what – We're like why he's like he is.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's a good enough excuse, but you know, kind of curious.
So
okay, well,
it can only be better. It can only
be better
than this week.
It can only go up from here, right?
Episode. To me, this is one of the least useful episodes we've ever seen.
Pretty much. Although, like I said, it did have its fun. I mean, there were, like I said, as much as it was stupid, I did find it entertaining. I wasn't bored like I was with the other Daryl Carol one because there was, like, her chasing the rat. There was a thing, like I said, with, like, I think Dog was, like, the best character in the show.
I mean,
like,
the
jumping
dog
up on
was
top
the,
of her. It was funny.
Yeah, you're right. Dog was actually the character that – Dog showed the most emotion of any character in the episode. Maybe except Jerry. But Dog
Jerry
really, like – the fact that Dog loved
funny
Carol so much made me see, okay, there, you know, Dog was sort of a, I mean, there was a thing going on there, but I was like, really?
Yeah,
like, the
Daryl,
dog, the dog
like
is the best actor right now, and I've got to,
I've
got to interpret a dog's actions to understand what's going on here. So,
yeah.
I love the dog.
That's what I'm saying. It shouldn't be that that's what's good. That is what was good, but that shouldn't be the case. So there we go.
Actually, to me, the highlight of the best part of the entire episode was when, remember when Carol and Daryl came to a fork in the road and they chose a different direction, and Dog kind of cries,
yeah.
and then Dog follows Carol. And Daryl's
like,
are you kidding me? He's like, thanks a lot.
And then he's like, thanks.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I wanted him to do that type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Dog knew Carol needed him. But, yeah, but they were cute together. I'm curious.
Sure.
I feel like that's got to be somebody's dog on the set. I mean, it could not
be.
Oh,
no, no,
like
no. That's an actor
is.
Dog. That's an actor dog.
Oh, it is, really?
He's
oh,
an actor dog, yeah.
Okay, cool. Because I know a lot of them, like, they'll make cast dogs actor dogs, you know, like they'll.
He's an actor dog.
Or whatever.
Actually, there were a couple scenes where you could see where he was sitting and playing next to Carol, but you can see he's looking off screen. He's looking at his handler off screen sometimes. He's a great actor dog, but anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. Terrible, in terms of 10 years of watching it, this is the episode we will not remember very much.
Right. I have to complain about maybe a little bit, but yeah.
Yep.
All right.
All right, next.
So, yeah. So let's do Wynonna really quick. I actually remember pieces of this. I was trying to remember exactly, but the main gist of this is that Waverly ends up in the fog, and she gets grabbed by Jolene, who is in a cabin, who somehow survived the fog. And I don't know, something about when Bolscher died or whatever, she was okay and not really important. But the point is Jolene's back, and she is mean to Waverly, kind of tortures Waverly, cuts a feather out of her back, which I'm still not sure. I mean, I guess part of her doing that was in order to try to break Waverly, but it seemed like she thought that opening her back would somehow make her change. So I don't know that that made total sense to me. But obviously the main part of that after is that Waverly turns into this dark angel thing. And I do have to say, this is where when I watched this one earlier in the season and I was thinking of you because I thought I had told you something. I mean, I obviously didn't tell you what, but I had told you how some of the storyline that we were annoyed with before at least had purpose, which is that, you know, Clanton, whatever his name is, Billy, they actually, the whole point of those stupid zombies, whatever they were.
There was no point for him for the last couple of weeks and all of a sudden,
Yeah, the point was so he could lead her through the fog into Waverly. I mean, that was the whole point. But, so she gets to, she doesn't get to Waverly. Nicole goes in, which their fight over that was kind of dumb. But Nicole gets to go in, and she gets spit back out, but she's okay. But Waverly's with Jolene, and then Waverly comes out. I don't remember what happened at the end of this, though. I don't think it ended. I think what I'm thinking of is next week, so I got to be careful.
In the end of the episode? So in the end of this episode, you mean about who came out of the fog and who went in?
No,
so,
I know that Waverly came out of the fog, but I'm trying to remember. Did she talk to Wynonna yet? I don't think she did, so I want to be careful what I say.
At the end of it, she says, like, Wynonna Earp, your mission is over, mine has just begun, or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so what I'm
like,
thinking of doesn't happen yet.
I miss maybe quoting it, but she's basically like when it, she says
no, that's
Earth,
fine.
Your
I just
mission is over. Yeah.
Okay, I just because I want to make sure I didn't go too far. That's fine. And then this is also when she takes the Clanton girl. I don't even remember her name.
Cleo.
And leaves Doc and Jeremy there, which that part kind of sucked.
It did and it didn't. Like I have a lot of thoughts about this episode, including that scene, which sucked, but it didn't suck because she made the right decision. Right?
No, she did. I mean, it was sad. Sucked. How's that? That's probably a better description. Did we have a returning character?
I really liked this episode a lot. So the last, like, since we came back from the break, like, the last two or three episodes have all been a little bit more like Monster of the Week episodes. Right? There was the Halloween episode. There was the trivia episode. There was this and that. And this episode was really back into, like, mythology, deep into mythology. Like, I was shocked Zoe Palmer show up, right? Like,
yes, I was definitely
like,
shocked
Jolene.
By that. Another
yeah,
one of the things
I
knew a long time ago. I had to keep my mouth shut, so.
I was shocked to see her and to see Jolene, and I kind of forgot about Jolene.
It was great
that they played her in a way that meant a lot. I really thought this episode was also very deep into character development, like, Wynonna is really at the bottom of the barrel. Like, we saw, Wynonna.
This is the intervention, right, they had in this one?
Well, yeah, it was the intervention. So Wynonna's drunk all the time. She wakes up. She shoots. Like, all she does is she wakes up. She's kind of hungover. She shoots demons all day. She gets drunk. She goes back to sleep. Like, Winona is in a really, really bad place. And I don't, I see the intervention, but of course, as usual, Waverly and Nicole do it wrong because they always do it wrong because they're Waverly and Nicole, right? And they're all like happy, trippy, whatever.
Right,
like,
but this is where I told you earlier in the scene. You had said something about like the way she's acting, and I said like that it would perhaps have consequences because obviously
it would come around,
showing, yeah, that it would come around. But yeah, that doesn't work so well. You're right; it never does. We also did.
I
was looking at the wrong recap. That's why I couldn't figure out anything.
I finally
realized I do
really think the show has taken us to a place where I really believe like. It wasn't surprising to me to see Winona like this. They've really gotten to this in a good way on the show. They've really played Winona as this sort of like really like and sad person who does her job. And yeah, that part was great. And I really, really liked the way they played Winona and Waverly. Like I really, you know, there was a part of this episode where Waverly and Winona have an argument. And Winona kind of, what does she say to Waverly? She calls her a name, and then she never sees Waverly again until they get to the cabin. And the whole part of the show, you know, there's a big part of the show where Winona is so devoted to, she calls her my baby girl, she's so devoted to Waverly. Winona's whole life is always about saving Waverly. And, I mean, to
she
me,
always
as a viewer,
it, yeah.
Well, to me and probably you as a viewer, I'm a little bit sick of Waverly being this little baby that's always got to be rescued by Winona. Like, Winona is always rescuing her, always doing everything.
Which is why some of what Jolene said was like, yeah, that's kind of true.
Well, yeah, like Jolene was using that against Waverly, but it's true, right? And Waverly's always a little perfect, beautiful, little perfect girl that everybody loves, and she's getting married and blah, blah. And we've seen this season how Winona is like, I'm sick of people being mad at me because I do what's got to be done. And so I really kind of like the way that we have the conflict. It's not even a conflict between them. It's a resentment between them, right? Like, Winona really resents Waverly. And I think Winona is kind of sad that Waverly and Nicole are getting married because Winona is being kind of left out. And I really think they've done a good job with that. And so I guess I really liked all the hurt and the damage between them in this episode was really well done. And yet we still see Winona be like, I want to ask you a question, actually. When we saw Winona and Nicole argue about the fog, who gets to go into the fog? And when Winona's like, I'm going, and Nicole says, no, it's my turn. I had a bunch of thoughts about that.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, I get that Nicole feels like that, and I kind of get the writing with saying, like, oh, Nicole gets to be the one to do it, you know, because she's so in love with her. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, yeah, but Winona's her sister, and I kind of feel like, I kind of understand part of Winona this whole time. She's like, my life is crap, and everybody hates me because I'm killing these, you know, demons, but I'm all doing the whole thing for her in the first place. And now you want me to sit here, I kind of felt like really Winona should have gone, but at the same time, I get why Nicole feels like that, so I don't know. I kind of had mixed thoughts.
Well,
too,
but see, there was a little part of me, when Nicole says it's my turn, I did think that Nicole meant it's my turn to save Waverly because I love her and she's my wife and blah, blah, and all that. But I did think there was a little part of it when she says it's my turn, does she mean, like, Winona, you always do it, you always do enough, can you just, like, take a rest while I do it for a change?
I mean, I think she specifically meant about Waverly. I mean, because she's like, I had to sit and wait while you stayed with her in the garden and blah, blah, blah. And she's like all jealous about that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like maybe Winona had a better chance of saving her almost. And, like, it shouldn't be about who's been doing it. Like, I don't know.
I guess,
I kind
but isn't
of
that such a selfish
know,
reason for Nicole to demand it? Like, I get to
and,
go.
And that's
and
my
like,
point. Yeah, oh, I'm in love with her. Well, she's her sister. She's known her longer than you. And I feel like Winona maybe had a better shot than you did. But because they're deeply in love, they have this soul connection. And therefore, we know that sometimes that gets a little. I mean, they've got a good relationship. I'm not saying they don't. But I don't know. It just didn't. It was a little annoying. But, I mean, I it well, I guess it didn't turn out okay. I shouldn't say it turned out okay. It didn't turn out so good. Whether or not Winona could have changed that, I don't know. But, yeah. But, I mean, obviously this is this was continued, so it's going to
I mean, I did really like seeing Jolene come back. I had forgotten about her.
Yeah.
I kind of loved her, you know, reminding
she
me that
really
she
good
was
at
the
it because
alternate.
She's like this crazy bitch. And, like, she's always, like, Zoe is so nice. And I still, even though I've seen her in Winona, I still think of her as being, you know, either the robot or more from Lost Girl. And I forgot she was, like, this crazy evil. And she played it really well. So, but, I had pretty much forgotten about her character until she was there.
Yeah.
I had to, like, think about – I saw her, and I'm like, Zoe. I'm like, oh, wait, what? I had to go back and think about it. So.
Yeah. And I have to say, I'm actually so – I don't want to say I'm anti-Waverly because I'm not, but I think that in terms of, like, when you look at what's going on and you see pro-Winona, and we've seen the season, you know, Winona many times this season has said, like, oh, Waverly, everybody loves Waverly. Waverly's so perfect. Everyone loves you. Like, it's true. Waverly's kind of fucking annoying that everybody loves her. She's so cute. She's so
nice.
I know
what you mean.
Right? She's so perfect. Everybody loves her. And she always has been since the start of the show when she was like the, you know, she was always like the most favorite person in town before her sister came back. And so I get it. And to see Winona, who has like saved everyone 1,000 times, and she's always like looked at as like this slutty drunk person. Like, I get it.
Well,
and she loved her sister. She loved her sister. But, you know, like, and
but
then
she's
to
a hero
see her
and she
sister,
never gets
like,
treated like a hero, you know?
No, she doesn't. And now her sister's getting married and, like, and has somebody else in her life. And there's a jealousy there also, right?
Yeah.
Meantime,
yeah,
by the way, before we stop, we got to talk about Doc in the cell, in the BBD cell. And Winona comes to the cell and she, you know, they seem to have a little bit of moment there. Do you think they got it? Didn't they connect it there?
Yeah, I definitely think they do. Although I think that both him and Jeremy should have, I mean, they're like, get mad when she leaves. I feel like, well, especially Doc got mad, but I feel like Doc should know that, one, it's her sister, which even if she loves him and they weren't fighting, it's still her sister. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's her sister. But second of all, when she's like, you got to trust me, I feel like there should have been a little more trust there. They were just like mad at her, like, why did you do that? Like, they should know better. She does. She always has a plan. And so that was a little sad. But we also got...
until she got shot in the stomach.
Yeah, until she got shot in the stomach, which I can't comment on what happens. But, yes, she got shot in the stomach.
I like seeing her also because I like seeing her brought back. Now we have 2 episodes left, and I like seeing her brought in because she was sort of a presence for the last 4 episodes. So nice to bring her back.
Yeah, she's funny, too.
By the way, you know while this is the last season, they're still shopping the show to other networks, right? You know, Emily Andress is the creator. They're still trying to find a new home for the show.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know that. I thought you were saying the reason why they were leaving. Yeah.
While this is the end,
it's not necessarily the end.
Well,
I think if it's... I think that if it's not the end, it will probably may not be in the same form. I know, and if people listen to, or not listen to, because that part isn't on there, but watch, I put up the interview with Melanie and Tim that I was at.
I read it.
Help me transcribe. And they do talk about the pause, and people can read that, but they do talk about the possibility of if it was like a movie, they'd enjoy doing it and come back right away because it would be easier because they don't have to like commit to it. But, yeah, so they're definitely shopping it, whether or not it'll get in our slot and whether or not if it does, it'll be anytime soon. I mean, you think about Dark Matter and how it – well, I mean, I guess Dark Matter, though, didn't have such a huge fan base as Winona Earp does. But Dark Matter seemed to have everything going for it, and it seemed like if any show was going to get picked up by another network, it might have been it. It didn't. But then again, look at Ascension? This doesn't sound right. Is that right? It's not called Ascension. What the heck is
Ascension?
It called? Expanse. I don't know why I can't think of Expanse.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking, think of Expanse. It got shot off of Sci-Fi early, and then it got picked up. So, I mean, there is, if it's got a big enough fan base and they think they can make money off of it, I think it has a possibility of coming back. You know, when that will be or how that will be, we don't know. And what all we're going to get in the finale yet, we don't know. Because I did ask them about Alice, and you saw their non-answer. So.
Right.
I feel like that was a great interview, but at the same time, they kind of didn't say a lot of anything because they're not allowed, which is kind of funny. But, right. Yeah. But so we'll have to see, yeah. But like I said, this is obviously continued into the next one, so because I've seen one more of them. So.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
So next week.
All right.
Okay, well, what do we want to move on to now, unless you have anything more to add?
I mean, so, no, I don't. And we have a couple more shows to talk about. So that includes Snowpiercer and Debris and
Resident
Evil.
Well,
I can't wait for Snowpiercer. Should we talk about Debris because we can dispense with it quickly? Or what do you want to do, AJ? What do you want to talk about?
Either Debris or Resident Alien. I don't care which one. But I just real quick wanted to say, so I watched the first episode of Invincible, and holy crap.
Is it good? Really?
What is it?
I had low expectations. I had low thoughts about that.
Let's put it this way. I'm not going to say anything, because I want to, if you guys decide to watch it. Invincible is a animated show on Amazon that is based on a comic book, another comic book by Kirkman.
Okay, that's why I didn't watch it. It was animated. I do remember reading about that.
And
there are some voices that we are familiar with in it, right?
Oh, my God. It's like he took everybody from The Walking Dead and had them voice the show.
Yep.
Steve Yeun is the star.
Yeah, I knew who said. But you liked it, I guess, is the question. Did you like it?
Well, see, Artie asked me if I wanted to watch, if I had any interest, and I was like, not really. He watched the first, I think you go watch the first episode, and then you let me know if you think I'll like it. He watched the first episode, he comes out, and he goes, I think you were going to be like, until like the last 5 minutes of the show, he goes, you need to watch this. So I watched the first episode, and I was like, throughout the whole thing, I was like, I kind of see where this is going to go, And then the last 5 minutes, I sat with my jaw on the floor.
Really?
And I was speechless. I was like, I couldn't believe what I was watching. So, yeah.
Let me ask
you this.
Have you read the comic? I mean, do you know anything about
the
comic? Or you just watched it?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't know anything. I know a little about some of the characters somewhat because it is an Image comic and I used to read Image. But I really don't know much about the overall story. Can't say that either of you are going to like it necessarily. But wow, the last 5 minutes I was just like, holy crap, what the hell?
So I have read, AJ, that it's very violent. Which maybe, you know, and it's, a cartoon, but it's animated, but I've read that it's really, really very violent.
Yeah.
And
you know what when I talk about a cartoon, I'm talking like Bugs Bunny, Scooby-Doo, those are cartoons. This is animated. Which is animated in the vein of
maybe not
South
anime,
Park,
but it's more
stuff
in that
like
vein.
It's not anime.
It's more
like animated.
No, but I mean,
it's adult.
Right. I mean, in that
very
vein,
adult.
I mean, like it's more of an adult show. It's not like a kids cartoon.
Yeah.
Is what I meant.
Like cartoons are for kids.
Yeah.
Animated is for adults. So anyway, I've heard that it's very violent, and that some people maybe are surprised because something that is animated is violent. But I've heard the gore, and all that is very serious.
Yes. Yep.
Is it?
Holy
so
crap.
So let me ask you, AJ, is it, you're saying holy crap, is it stylized or is it realistic or is it like, when I think about like The Walking Dead, what turns some people off is that violent scene of Negan and, you know, when he hit Glenn and knocked out his eye. Are we talking about realistic violence, or are we talking about, like...
Let's put it this way.
Stylized violence, which more like the Batman kind of stuff is more stylized to me.
It's... Yeah, it's both. Because it's a superhero show, you know?
Yeah.
So, and we're talking about people that have superhuman strength and aren't pulling their punches.
Right.
'Cause they're fighting bad guys and good guys, you know, there's characters fighting that are, they're fighting superhuman versus superhuman. So you can't pull your punches 'cause, you know, you're trying to stop or, yeah, I'm
right.
trying to say this without
I get kind
saying
of
too much.
Let me ask you this question. So I would take it from what you're saying, though, that necessarily the script isn't like a whoa surprise. The violence is the surprise, is the shock. It wasn't so much the story, right?
Well, yes and no. The violence was a surprise, but the script itself of why the violence was needed was the surprise. Like, the violence...
Okay.
All right, let's put it this way. To answer Karen's question, it was stylized violence, but it was necessary because of the situation that the script gave it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I answered both of you.
I think I'll let Karen watch
again,
first to see what she thinks.
Again, I don't necessarily know that either one of you are going to like it, but I definitely want to see episode – I'm going to watch episode two to see where the
all
show
right.
is going. Because, I mean, for all I know, this is like one episode that – you know, that was to draw people in, and then it's going to be very blasé, like the first half an hour of the episode.
All right, and one more question. AJ, have you read that comic?
No, I haven't. I'm familiar with some of the with one or two of the characters from reading Image, but never read Invincible or anything connected to it.
All right. I mean, I think I'm
right.
willing to – what channel is it on? I'm willing to watch it.
It's Amazon. It's Prime.
All right. I'll watch it, yeah.
Okay, you watch it. Tell me what you think. I don't know. I don't think
okay,
I'll
watch it.
It's that violent.
All right. I'll watch it
and
let you know.
All right. And we'll go through those other things. But that does remind me, too. I do want to talk a little bit more about Irresistible now. Irregulars after, because it's aired now. All right.
Okay, so for now.
Let's breathe fast.
Breathe.
I like this debris. Okay. I mean, I thought it was interesting. It finally, some stuff moved forwards with Influx, and, you know, we got a bit more on that side and about her sister and that. I mean, in a way. I mean, I'm not saying, like, a whole lot happened, but I feel like the story moved a bit more in that sense. So, I don't know. I like this one. And, although I wish they were. I don't know. Them, the way they're acting together is, like, kind of annoying, but.
Actually, I'm glad for it. It's about time one of them, I mean, I'm glad they had that little face-off, especially for her, because she knows that he has a secret about her. You know, it's like one of them, she had to blow at some point, you know? She's trying to stay
yeah.
cool and collected. And I appreciated when her boss said to her, listen, we keep secrets from the Americans also. You know, we're keeping secrets from the CIA, just like they're keeping secrets from us. So, it's like, we trust each other, but we don't. You know,
only to a certain extent.
So I appreciated
yeah.
that. You know, that's
no,
how the spy world works.
I just wanted to tell him why. Like, I'm just kind of like, tell him why you're pissed.
Well,
and I know she's not, but.
Well, no,
I kind of
like that,
does.
Too. I like why she didn't. And I liked his assumption that it was something else, which tells you that
yeah.
he feels he did something else wrong.
yeah.
But
yeah,
this was definitely, out of the five episodes we've gotten, it was the best episode. That doesn't mean it was that good. The only thing that I really kind of liked was, and I liked it and I didn't like it at the same time, was Maddox isn't necessarily a bad guy. There's a clone. I don't know how
I
feel about the
clone. There's not a clone.
What do you mean there's not a clone
of him?
That's a clone of Maddox.
What
didn't
you
see Maddox
about?
Getting a... Okay, am I...
No, maybe I'm delusional. Okay, that one guy, I think you know what you're talking about, because this is what I was going to ask you guys about. When the one guy, Ben Cotton, I think his name is, I forget, he was in Resident Alien. I get him mixed up with the other actor. But anyway, the one that played the boyfriend, the nasty boyfriend in Resident Alien, he was working with Scorbius's character. He was the one that was putting the pieces of debris up on the building and was working with it. He said something like they only had so much time, and he said, well, now you have 15 more, and he gave him one of the pieces he ate. That's what I was trying to ask
right.
you guys. I think that was supposed to be that guy went back in time, like 15 minutes. And that's why you saw, I think you're talking about when you saw Maddox get in the car there. Is that what you're talking about? I think that, that was, to me, was saying he went back to when that happened the first time, that there's two of him. Not that Maddox is a clone or anything. That guy traveled back in time like 15 minutes or whatever it was. That was what I took out of it anyway. Maybe I saw it.
Okay, see, all right, hold on. So you're telling me that the guy that put the debris up and Maddox are two different people, because I thought they that was Maddox.
Yeah, completely different actor. No, that's not Maddox.
Really?
Completely different
actor. Wow, they look very much alike.
He's the one from Resident Alien. I said he's the one from Resident Alien that played Ash's nasty ex-husband or whatever. I can't think of – I can't want to say Ben Cott, but I think I might be mixing him up with a different actor. But it might – I can't remember if that's the right name or not.
Okay.
So don't,
yeah, I need, I need to stop watching this show because they got two actors that look so much alike that I thought they were the same person.
Yeah, they do. They do look alike.
They do
look
kind of alike. I know the other one is Ben Cott, and I was right.
Now I'm
I
don't like this episode anymore.
I'm sorry. It's just kind of funny.
Look, this episode, I liked some parts of it because, I don't know. I thought the whole Mystery of the Week was a little bit, I didn't love the Mystery of the Week. Like, I kind of felt like here's this thing where like, if I paid attention to it, the science of it and the mess of it made no sense to me. And they have this, like, the thing where they're like, oh, look at the two, you know, Fennell's got her fingers out and they're showing all the stuff and they find out that New York City is going to become some sort of great antenna for whatever. And I felt all that was a little bit like...
That's all you need to know.
I know, but the more I thought, the more you listen, the less sense it makes, right? You can't really pay attention to the show because I'm like, wait, what? And I was like, huh? And so then we have all these guys from... who are eating their little bites and jumping around, and I just felt like the whole mess of it, I was like, wait, what's going on? I don't know. And they're underlying it with this bit of, I don't know, I also really am getting really tired of the show where they having, like, people they're promoting as stars but who don't do anything, like the influx people. Like, how many times, Jamie, I'm sorry, but are they putting out, like, Scroobius,
I think
as an interview person who never even speaks in the show.
Well,
right?
No, so. That's what I was going to say. He finally had lines in this one. I think what they should have done. I think it was partially the timing thing. I mean, there's only been two. It feels like, but there was two. I think that if they had let us see this episode before they did the second interview, it maybe would have been better because I felt like we just still didn't know anything up till this point, and like at least now, like he had a part. You know what I mean? It would have been, I would have liked to like talk to him now after I've seen that stuff. But speaking of, I just want to say about Maddox though, I'm kind of wondering if whatever, debris he was trying to get from the other country or whatever, I kind of wonder if it's something to do with, he thinks can save his son and that it has nothing to do with betraying or not betraying a government, that he might be doing it on his own just to save him. That was kind of my thought, but I don't know. I like this show. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. It's not necessarily like the most scientifically stable show.
I kind of like that this episode, and maybe AJ or Jamie, you have thoughts about this. I kind of like the way they're getting deeper into the tension between Fennell and Brian. And, you know, early in the show, they were really congenial partners. And it wasn't making, but now, like, she's kind of angry at him, and he doesn't get it. He's kind of being dumb about it, right? Like, he should have figured out that she's got the answer. But she's mad at him.
That's why, like I said, in the wild way, I
wonder. Tension going on, and I kind of liked that part of it. I did kind of like that this week they finally brought Influx into it, and they actually did something, and there was some sort of, like, good guy, bad guy, us against Influx going on. It didn't really make a ton of sense if you paid attention to, like, whatever they were trying to do was to use two New York City buildings as antennae to
make
people
disappear. They needed two to open the wormhole.
Or whatever. Like, it didn't, like, we didn't really get it, but at
least
they had some sort of
thing. Yeah, that was the other thing I wanted to comment on, too. They had said how there was a survivor, and that was the guy that, you know, they shot in the head after they took his samples. I assumed that that meant everybody else died on the bus, but that part they didn't exactly explain. And I was curious about, because, okay, the point is they're opening a wormhole, they're pulling the bus through it, they're showing people what they can do, whatever. But why they need two to, you know, open it, I don't know. Why they have to have both. You know, it's not even triangulating. It's just, like, opening it. But that's what I said, like, other than opening a wormhole, like, I feel like there was maybe supposed to be more there that just wasn't. I don't know. Because they, like,
no,
I said, they
I
didn't
know.
Say what happened to the people. Did they all burn up? Did they disappear? Like, I guess they just all died because they said there was one survivor and that was it. So I do feel like something was missing there. But, yeah, but I just kind of, like, didn't really put too much into it.
I don't know. AJ, what did you think about all that? I mean, did you...
I thought the story
confused.
I thought was better. Yeah, so I was confused because I'll tell you what, Maddox and the other guy looked so much alike.
No,
I was like, oh, a
friggin'
I'm a friggin' clone.
Yep.
The episode, it's like the basic idea I thought was kind of cool. And one thing that bothered me is. Fanula's sister. She's only there to give Fanula more substance. That's it. The character has no merit whatsoever.
Yeah.
She's a you know, she's an entire continent away. And it's like she's reminiscent of our favorite character from Sleepy Hollow. She's like our Katrina in this. Anytime you need a piece of information, she's there. So she sends, you know, Fanula this video of when they were kids, and it gives us, you know, this whole backstory moment and whatnot and everything. And the weird thing was, and I wasn't sure what this was supposed to mean, but the music that was playing while she's watching the video, The Russian guy is singing.
The influx.
Yeah, he's singing.
I was going to ask about that. It seemed like he was singing it at the same time, like almost like he could listen.
But
that's
the problem. It's not clear. It's very, I don't know if it's intentionally confusing, but it takes
you
out of the episode.
I think it was intentionally. You're not supposed to understand it.
But that's the problem.
Yeah,
nothing is clear in this show.
Yeah, it's okay that it's confusing, but it's like
problem.
You're not supposed. Yeah. I feel like you're not. I don't
it's
know
not okay,
whether
though.
It was supposed. No, but that's what I'm saying. What I mean is, it's okay to be confused, but not in the sense. I feel like in this one, we don't know whether or not he was actually supposed to be singing it as she was listening to it, or it was just saying, "Hey, he for some reason has a background where he knows that song." Like that's what I mean. That should have been
right.
Clear. But
I mean, to me, the
yeah,
part that's not okay
I didn't quite get
is
it.
That we what's not okay to me is that we've had this villain since episode one who said nothing, done nothing, and all of a sudden he appears in this episode. I mean, you know, does something and got these crazy, you know, not only is he saying like, oh, he's repeating the Spanish words, but he's doing that thing with his hands, which I'm sure you noticed, which was like flicking
the
whole
thing
around.
Yeah, I'm sure they
said. And then he says,
well,
oh, your father's not a clone. He says your father's not a clone, but it's clear that our father's not. I mean, I'd like to have a little bit more insight into the other side so I could.
Yeah.
Because it's very slow. It's very, very slow. I mean, the show to me is just not going anywhere. We're like 7 or 8 weeks. I don't know how many weeks we're in, but to me it's very frustrating. I did kind of enjoy.
I did kind of enjoy
that Fanula is being kind of, you know, she's kind of pissed off at Brian. I liked all of her like kind of shitty comments, and she's like, "Whatever, I gotta go." Like I really liked her being like, "That's how I feel about the show." Like she's like, "Whatever, I gotta go." I'm like, "That's how I feel about the show. I gotta go." They are very close to reveal anything about the debris, and I don't. Really enjoy that we've got some. The villains know everything, but our people know nothing. To me, that's frustrating.
No.
I do think that we, you know, I think that Fenella's character. We saw her become very isolated this week. Like, she can trust nobody. She doesn't trust Brian. She doesn't trust Ferris. She doesn't trust Maddox. Like, we saw her be like, I can't really talk to any of these people. And she's very isolated now. And they moved her character along, which is good, I think. I like her better now. But that's about it.
Well, now also we have Sebastian Roche's character, too. Which
we
know about.
I was like, ooh, Sebastian Roche.
I couldn't believe that. When I saw him,
it lasted like 2 seconds.
And you
yeah.
know what?
I was very excited.
When I saw him in the car, the first thing I thought was, oh, my God, AJ thought was General Hospital. I was like, oh, my God, AJ, General Hospital, that's our guy. Right? That's all I could think. Like, Sebastian Roche. I was like,
I don't know what I
what?
Think about him being from, but
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah.
Well, he's in other stuff too, obviously, but
yeah.
Of course, but that's how I
I would think so. I really feel like, you know, for me at least, and maybe Karen too, you know, when Jamie first told us about this, she said, hey, you know, it's J.H. Wyman. And we went, ooh, J.H. Wyman, you know, he brought us Fringe, you know. I really feel like Wyman is suffering from not having Alex Kurtzman and Roberta Orci with him because I'm not.
I think it
would have
been better
this.
If it was his continuation on that. I feel like I think the biggest problem with the show is it has too much Monster of the Week and not enough mythology.
Yes,
I would have rather
seen
a couple episodes rather than them sprinkling these little bits through each of them. I would have rather had like a couple episodes Monster of the Week and then like one that's like purely explained stuff. Because it still feels like we're just not understanding anything, I guess.
Yep, yeah. You guys are both right. Yeah, we're not really getting
and
it.
I'll even,
and I'll not.
And you know what? I mean, part of it's my own fault because I'm not paying that much attention because this is episode 5 and they haven't hooked me. I am not hooked.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not really getting our attention. There's not much going on.
You know, it,
the fact that the bad guys have not even spoken 5 words before this week. Yeah.
It's actually really funny because, you know, in that text earlier today, Jamie made a comment about not really feeling Snowpiercer and it feels like a chore to watch it. I feel the same way about Debris, that I have to watch Debris for the podcast, not because I'm enjoying it.
Okay. This is a bad...
It's a bad sign. I don't know. I enjoy it, but I totally see all the problems that you guys, like, I agree with all of your, what you're saying. I just still, like, even though it's mostly Monster of the Week, I'm still enjoying it. But we'll have to see what they do.
I think it hasn't
and hopefully you guys will be
yet.
Around
this
if they do
not,
something. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely needs something to happen.
I think the biggest problem is the chemistry between Fenella and Brian. If they had chemistry, at least, like, X-Files
they
in the early
chemistry.
Seasons were they were very much Monster of the Week, X-Files, the first couple seasons. You know, I mean, yeah, you had the mythology, but there was a lot of Monster of the Week, and some of the Monsters of the Week weren't very good, but you had that great chemistry between David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson that we're just not getting. We're just not getting that from these characters. And I'm not even talking, you know, romantically or anything like that, just as partners, as people, just as two people, either people that don't like each other or people that are becoming friends. They're nothing. They're just kind of there. They're not even singularly people at this point. They're just kind of the narrators for us to follow on these missions.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So.
All right. We shall see. All right.
Okay. Resident Alien, sounds like we're ready for it.
Oh, before I forget, because I didn't hear and I'll forget to say it, Lucifer comes back May 28th.
Yay.
Sorry, I had to add that.
Okay, yay.
Okay. Yay for me, anyway. All right, let's go on to, we want to do Resident Alien, you said? So
sure.
This was the Terry O'Quinn episode. I'm not sure, per se, a whole lot happens in this one, like, mythology-wise, as we say, but I think this was a good episode. I like this one, and I think the whole convention thing was really funny, and, yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty good. I would say probably the main thing that happened was the most story-wise was with the sheriff and deputy, which I think was funny. I don't know. I completely buy it, but yeah, she shouldn't have given in so easy. But that's my two cents.
That was hilarious.
No, yeah, it was really funny though.
My first thought with that
really
scene was,
too.
Yeah, when she first, as soon as I heard the music, I was like, oh my God, this song is almost,
it's more,
oh my God,
for
it's
that.
Almost 40, it's almost 40, the song is almost like 40 years old, and
really,
they're still using it for shit,
classic,
but it worked.
Classic karaoke.
It actually,
yeah.
But it worked for the scene, and I thought, and when he got down on one knee, give her the badge, I about lost it.
I mean, I was kind of blown away because, first of all, she sings, right? And I was like, wait a minute, people on the show can sing? Like, she's not like a Oscar-winning, you know, Grammy person, but, like, that actress sang, and I was like, holy cow. And then that guy who I can't even, like, say, I got to look him up right
Corey.
Now, the actor who plays Quinn. He sang.
Corey.
That guy
yeah.
is an
Arnold.
Corey. He's an amazing singer, right? And I was like, wait a
yeah.
minute. And I think my favorite part of the entire episode was when Darcy, she's looking and she goes, what the hell is happening right now? And I was like, that's exactly how I feel. Like, to me, that was the highlight when she's like, what the hell is going on right now? And I was like, oh, my God, what's going on right now? And
like, I guess
that's
how I felt. Like, it was so funny, but it was a little weird, too, you know? Like, the whole scene was a little weird.
Well, it was weird because it made no sense within the show, right? Like, within what we're watching on the show, I said, wait, what? They're doing what? And this happens? And, I mean, it was like, actually kind of bothered me. Like, I loved it. And yet, I would really like to see, like, the sheriff apologize. Like, in the
yeah.
end, we see, and you know, it all, right? I would rather see a big apology. But, of course, that's
yeah, I guess that's my point.
Is,
that's what I don't know. That's why I said I don't know that I buy that she, I guess, forgave him so easy is what I kind of was not sure about. But, I mean, the show's the way it is. A lot of the stuff in this show doesn't necessarily make sense in the scope of the show, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing that I think, unless I'm mixing it up, this is the one after he had his leg cut off, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's growing back.
This is where it grows back.
With his leg growing back is so freaking hilarious. I love those scenes. And she's like, put that thing away. And then, like, he's eating with it. That was just really funny. I enjoyed those scenes. I thought they were especially funny. Weird, but especially funny.
Yeah, they were pretty good. And then they grew towards the big part of the episode was when they're at the sci-fi convention. The alien convention.
Terry O'Quinn, yay!
Terry O'Quinn.
Yeah.
He was incredible, right? I actually texted
yeah.
Jamie in the middle of it. I was like, wait, his acting is so much better than everybody else. He was great. It was great to see him in that sort of a, like, he probably goes
he
to a lot
of
conventions.
He was a straight man in it.
He
yeah.
was a straight man. And he's been to a bunch of those. Whether they're a Lost convention or anything else, he's been to a lot of them. He
yeah.
was pretty funny.
I think it was interesting when you realized he was that guy from the beginning, though, because, like, it didn't really...
Yes.
I don't know. It didn't compute. Like, it did not seem like he was going to be the same guy, and he found it out at the very end. Like, it
well, it's actually... It's funny, because I said to Artie, I expected the pregnant woman to show up on stage talking about her baby being taken, and it didn't happen, and then I kind of didn't think nothing of it, and then when he was... taking the chip out of his neck, and he's like, you know, like, no, I need to know what, you know, they took my wife's baby 30 years ago, and I was like, aha, there's the connection, which I didn't see that
yeah.
coming until it actually
yeah.
happened.
No, I didn't either. So yeah, that was kind of surprising. I felt bad for him. I'm like, don't take it. No, but I guess the Greys are mean, and Harry's aliens supposedly aren't as mean, although obviously he's not a good alien either. But none of them are very good aliens, let's put it that way.
I loved when they were just, you know, talking about the different aliens, and Harry was giving us his interpretation of the aliens, and then the flurry fluffy aliens that look like chickens. He's like, they're actually really nice.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot there was a race of nice aliens. Well, I guess other than all the funny things, kind of the other big part of this episode, which I still don't know what happens either, is that Darcy finds the body.
Nosy Darcy?
I'm not sure what the heck things – I don't know what the heck she's thinking, because I would think your first thought would probably be like somebody killed Harry. Like you wouldn't connect – Harry killed Harry. That, you know, that he's still there. I would have assumed like he must have died at some point. She didn't know it because that's what she sees about it. So I don't know what she's going to say, but I'm curious to see how they resolve it.
Well,
if she tells her the truth or if she somehow forgets or if they play it off, I don't know. I'm curious to see how they.
Here's the big overlying problem. No matter how you slice it, no matter how funny the show is, he killed Harry. He's an alien. They came there to kill all humans, and yes, obviously he's going to have a change of heart, but where do you go with this show now? Where, you know, the fact that Darcy found the body, I mean, A, you either kill Darcy, which I don't see them doing, or B,
right.
you have the characters who know that he's an alien forgive him, and I feel like that just doesn't work.
Do you think she'll even find out, though? I feel like, I don't know, I feel like maybe him and Asta will play
absolutely
off somehow and be like, oh, it's fake.
No.
Or, you know, oh, it's just a rubber body or
Darcy,
something
listen,
weird.
Listen. If you had said that prior to Darcy saving everybody's life, I would have said, yeah, Darcy's a dunce. That episode gave Darcy so much substance and, you know, come to realize that she's the way she is because she's still dealing with so much pain from her broken leg. Darcy's
also
a lot smarter than anybody gives credit for.
And this week also, AJ, like, I think that Darcy, this week also, where Jay comes and says, like, I want to interview for the school paper, asks her some very difficult questions.
That was fucked up.
It was, right?
Jay blindsided her.
Yep. I think they've actually really changed that character. I see that character has been like a ridiculous, drunken character they complained about a lot.
That's what they wanted you to think, yeah.
I think, did Doris think or did they actually change that character? I just think she's become a much more interesting and complex person. But, yeah. That she comes back and she's like, and this week she's very upset because she's basically stayed there alive and they're ignoring her, right? She's like,
and she knows
that
she asked to lie
here
to her. She's not that dumb that she's falling for it either.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I mean,
all right.
I guess we'll find out tomorrow.
She's
my most hated character and she was my new favorite character. Like,
yeah,
I went from hating her to really liking her.
Actually,
that's
really funny.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's just that, you know, at first I thought she was hilarious. She was really funny. I really liked her character. And then it was just every week, and I was just like, oh, my God, enough. I can't stand her. And then, you know, you get that episode where she saves everybody, and you realize she's not the completely useless person that you think she is. And now I love her again. So I would normally say
I wonder if people influenced that decision and why they changed her, but this was all written and done way before. So
yeah.
It was definitely planned.
I think it was intentionally done the way it was.
Yeah. I also want to say, because I happen to have seen this, I guess that guy that was from, I don't know if it's what he was from in the show, but I guess that guy that Harry sat with and ate his fruit, I guess he's really from Ancient Alien show. I don't know.
Oh, he's the actual alien
somebody
guy? I mean, that was kind of
I don't
of
watch
really
that
funny
show, so
that
I don't
was
know.
You know, he looks
yeah
kind
was
of familiar.
His fruit. That's probably why I don't watch that show, so I don't know. But
I did think that whole part of it was really great and funny. Like, you know, I don't love comedies, but I think they did a really good job of parodying going to that kind of a conference, and I thought it was really
the convention,
great.
Yeah.
I think
they
did a good job the convention, yeah.
No, yeah, that was cool. I did like that. All right, well.
That was fun.
I think, like I said, I guess we'll find out the answers tomorrow, and we'll come back
next,
and talk about it.
Well, there's
tomorrow
something.
The
well,
finale, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Well, there's one other thing we didn't talk about.
Probably
Karen's favorite part was, you know, dinner with the mayor, who was crying because it wasn't Taco Tuesday.
Oh, I hadn't even remembered that.
The best part about
the mayor,
thing,
he's the
I
worst.
Mean,
oh, my God.
I know. But the best part about the whole scene was after the scene was over, when you see that Max videotapes his own bedroom when he's not there.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Loved
like,
it. Loved it. Doing.
It turns out that Max continued. And I have to say, Zahar, earlier in the episode, when they're at the cabin, and she says to Harry,
she's
like, aliens are threatened by strong women, too. And that's another part
that
we didn't mention.
She's
so
cute.
How do you guys feel that the premise of the show starts out with, you know, the whole murder, and that's kind of like the commercials, that's what it made the show look like it was about, was figuring out the
like
murder.
Like a mystery about it.
And,
which, I mean, there was that thread through it, but it wasn't like as important.
But it wasn't like, it was implied in the previews is my point. So the sheriff, after looking at Liv's murder board, he figures it out. You know, and I was a little pissed that he didn't go get Liv first and say, hey, Liv, you were right. How about you make the arrest? Because I figured it out because of you. I was a little pissed that it didn't happen that way. But he arrests the wife, and that's it. It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you guys were,
like,
I know, AJ, at least you were saying, it's going to be her. And I'm like thinking, yeah, I can't say that.
my point is, it felt
obvious,
very,
but...
it was very
yeah,
anticlimactic.
Yes.
It was.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he should have let her do it. I totally agree with that. I think that would have.
I mean,
they had had them sing together first, and then he took her to the arrest, it would have been better.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the murder was the complete
catalyst
reason
right.
for the show in the beginning, and they did let it go, and it would have been nice to have that
should have been a bigger
have
deal.
Been brought mm-hmm. to a higher yeah it should have been a bigger deal exactly.
Yes.
I mean. I do like that it's over because I know that we've talked about, especially AJ every week, is like, what is going on with that murder? And so it's nice to see it be finished, but...
Yeah.
But where do you go with the show now, actually?
Well, yeah, and it doesn't leave any reason for Harry to be part of the town. They've already got a new doctor. Harry was doing... Like, it doesn't really...
Yeah.
It sort of dropped that whole part of the town. Like, in moving towards the alien story, they've left aside the part that's kind of more interesting. Like, I'm worried about Harry being...
Yeah, I just hope they don't, like, let everybody know the secret, because then it would be stupid. I just saying.
Well,
no,
I
it's
think...
Getting out. It's
I,
getting
I,
out,
why
right?
Still there.
I think now that Darcy... Well, that's the thing. I think now that Darcy has found the real Harry's body, I think the show's about to get a lot more ridiculous. Because, like I said, if they can't just... I know it's a comedy and everything, but you can't be a comedy for comedy's sake. You still got to make sense sometimes.
I wouldn't even mind it if she saw it and she's trying to figure out what the hell's going on and, like, she doesn't tell them, and maybe part of next season is, like, her trying to figure out what's going on. Like, I could even – I don't think they'll do that. But I think
we don't need a Desmond. You have the answers. You tell people.
Yeah.
No, I just mean Darcy. Like, if Darcy stays in the dark.
Oh, I know. I know what you meant.
Okay.
She, and Darcy,
I don't know.
And everything we have with Darcy, Darcy's not the type of character to keep this to herself. She's going to walk right up to the two
of them
and be like, who the hell's in
this
freezer?
That is very true. Yeah, I don't think she's going to automatically think he's a murderer because she's going to think he's the murderee, you know, for lack of a better way to describe that. Yeah, well... There's next week and or tomorrow, not next week, tomorrow, and we'll find out. And I will find out right along with you guys. It looks like so.
All right.
Good.
On to the amazing show that is Snowpiercer. Holy crap! 2 hours of amazing television.
Well, I don't know, like the first hour, but I agreed that it had a good ending. I did in the end. I mean, it was still a good story. I don't mean it wasn't. I don't know. Something about that show, I've said before, it's just, I don't know. I watch it, and, like, it makes me feel depressed when I watch it. So I'm usually like, I don't feel like watching this.
It's dark.
When I watch it, I'm like, okay, I want to know what happened. That's why I said I feel like I should have just watched all the screeners when I got them, and I would have been like, okay, cool. And now I'm otherwise like, I don't want to watch it tonight. No, but it did have a good, I liked the way they wrapped it up.
So what do you think, Karen? Karen. Do we lose Karen?
Karen. I have no idea.
Yeah, no, we lost her.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm sure she's calling back in.
Well, while she's doing that, I will say, because I was trying to find the exact date, but Van Helsing comes back April something. I think like the second week in April. I was trying to find it. It's not written where I'm looking, so I can't tell you exactly, but that's coming back. I don't know if Karen's going to watch. I assume she's going to watch the end of it, but that will be starting soon. And then the other thing I was going to say, I might as well say while we're waiting for her, is about the Irregulars, which I said was sort of based on characters from Sherlock, but Watson and Sherlock are completely different characters, and it's more about the group that are helping them, the teens, and it's definitely like a dark supernatural mystery. I really like it. It was not what I expected at all. I don't know what I expected, but it definitely wasn't. But I think people should check that out. That's on Netflix. That dropped Friday, so. And I don't know. We should go on. We don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess she'll have. Oh, nope. There she is. I guess it just took her a second.
She's back. Okay.
And you're back.
Hi, guys. Sorry. Lost my connection.
Hi. That's okay. Before I forget, I want to ask you guys, did you guys read that article that I sent about Snowpiercer that had some of the sort of.
I read it. Yep.
Okay, because I saw
spoiler and I said I don't want to read it.
Well, it isn't. I mean, it's like what writers said. So I mean, it's not like it tells you the whole season, but it gives a couple little things we don't have to talk about. If people want to know some things, at the very least, Snowpiercer, go look at Deadline. There's an interview with
at the very least,
executive producer.
I didn't
want to
look at it until after the podcast because I'm going to tell you guys how season 3 should go. And I didn't want to be swayed on
wait,
what
wait.
They...
Wait, tell me how season 2 went, because you guys, I loved these 2 hours. And I'm not, you know, I love these
I'm
two
with
hours.
You there, Karen.
They were great. I felt really,
no,
and I'm not
talking.
Sure, I don't want to say they were the 2 greatest hours of television, because I might have a few issues, but I have to say that I felt tension in my body for the entire 2 hours. Like, the entire time I was watching it, I felt really...
Mm-hmm.
I felt really
like
nervous.
Yelling at the TV,
I felt
trying
attention.
To yeah.
I didn't know what was going to happen. I felt really, really uptight for most of it. And while I really hate so many of those characters, like I just felt right till the end. It was so good. It was so good. And the first hour ended,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I cannot wait for the second hour. It was so good. I really love a lot of what happened, and I hate a lot of what happened. But I still loved it.
Well, that's the thing. You're supposed to hate a lot of some of the stuff that happened because it wasn't supposed to be an easy ride. Things had to happen badly along the way.
And I actually really felt while I was watching it, like there are so many characters that I don't like, but there were so many characters that just felt even more and more like I didn't really think that I could hate Wilmore even more, but he becomes more and more.
Widmore,
he becomes LJ also. LJ, come on, LJ, who I thought were, LJ is more and more hateful every time I see her. And Wilmore,
he knows.
Wilmore,
he knows who she is.
And Sean Bean is more.
Doesn't matter.
And like these characters.
Oh God.
These characters are worse every time. LJ is kind of. Oh my God, LJ. God, EJ. I just hate these characters, and they get worse and worse and worse. And that dinner scene where Wilford has invited them for dinner, but it's not really, it's really about torturing them. Like, his whole dinner scene is about they'll feel uncomfortable and testing them and torturing them.
Mm-hmm.
And every single person by the end of dinner has been put into a very bad situation. Even if they're
not
putting
Although Al made it dumb to get it for most of it.
The thing I loved about the dinner scene was I'm looking around the table and I'm like, LJ is the only guest that is actually happy to be there. Even Osweiler was kind of like, why am I here? Osweiler even was like, you could tell was uneasy and did not want to be there. But you know what I really appreciated is how nobody held back. They were all like, you know, I mean, it's clear he's running the show now, but nobody backed down from Wilford. They all told Wilford exactly what they thought. And it was so great when Ruth defied him and she's like, I won't do it. She's like, nope, Not going to happen. And by the way, let me just say, this season has been the season of Allison Wright. She might not be the top gold star in the show, but this entire season, the Ruth character through this season has evolved so much, and Allison Wright knocked it out of the park. I mean, it was just amazing the work that she did this season. I mean, it was so good.
And you know what I think is the interesting part, though, too? I think that Leighton would not have expected, like, would have expected probably anybody but her to be the one that ended up down there with him. You know? I think that was pretty, like, just the scene when she comes down. It's like he has to realize finally that she, you know, she had his back and he should have listened. Because, I mean, obviously it was more about Melanie. He doesn't know that. But, I mean, she never wavered. She didn't go over to his side even when it meant that. And for her, like, she's been somebody who's, you know, in the higher class too. And now she's down in a shithole with him. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a yes and no. Like, I think that if we'd seen this, like, a year ago, we would have said there's no way that she would. I think when we first met her, we thought she was sort of using her position to be, I don't know, we would never have thought that. I think that when we saw what happened this week, it's really about, like, I don't, when she says I'm not loyal to Leighton, I'm loyal to the train, I kind of believe that. Like, I think something happened to her.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's loyal to the train. And she says no to Wilford because she's loyal to the train. I think that there's a fine line between being loyal to Leighton and to the train as a, you know. But I think she, I think, you know, you see the part where she fights Kevin for the teal jacket.
Yeah,
right?
That was great.
But it really means a lot to her. It's a symbol for her, and it means, like, her relationship with the train, I think. And she's, like, she's trying to – she really thinks she's loyal to the peep in the train. I mean, I guess Leighton is also, but for her, it's a really – she's been incredible. You're right. Allison Wright is
– Yeah.
I mean, it's been incredible.
She's doing an amazing job this season.
I think the main thing is, though, is that he's using her, and she knows what – I mean, that's the problem. He's kind of screwed because if he tells them, oh, we're not going back for Melanie, there's going to be a lot of people. Now, granted, some of them are going to agree with him, but there's going to be a lot of people who are going to have a problem with that.
You mean Wilford? You mean Wilford?
Sorry,
when you
Wilford,
say he?
Yeah, Wilford. Wilford, yeah. He needs somebody on their side to deliver the message, and that's the whole reason why he needs her. He's using her, and I think she's finally like, because she would, I mean, that could potentially turn the tide. That's why it's so important that she didn't do it. And then obviously he went on to trying to get Zara to do it next. I don't know. If he keeps going down the line and you know, terrorizing and killing everybody, though, he's going to run out of people. I also really like the part, too, with Alex, like, standing up and being like, this is what he did. And she finally – oh, and her slicing his neck was obvious, also really cool.
Oh, my God.
I was like, yes. It's like, you go, girl. So I kept saying,
Artie
kill,
and
kill,
I
kill.
Both, like, as soon as I saw her take the razor blade, I thought, oh, my God, might they actually kill Wilford this season? Like, this was before we figured out the whole plan and everything. And let me tell you something. During that little scene and everything, and after he smacks her and she pulls the knife out and she slices his neck, Artie and I both jumped up and went, yes! And we high-fived and then went, oh, crap, she only got the side of his neck.
Yeah,
I thought
they might kill him too this season. I really was
me too.
Not sure what
I thought
was going
she might
on
kill
there
him.
For a second.
I thought she might kill him. So that leaves aside the point, like, where is this going? Because, like, people who have chosen a side against him, right? Like, Alex can never go back to Big Alex, right? Like, Alex has made a choice. Alex has made a choice. She can never go back. And I don't know the way this ends is that, you know, I think it was, I really liked the way it ended because it looked like our party's getting anywhere. And then all of a sudden they've made this plan to like steal a pirate ship, basically. Right. They're going to break free. Go
Snowpiercer,
10
trays long.
Right. Yeah,
and they can't go after him either. There's no way that big train can turn. And that's the part that made it neat, too, because he can't chase after them. Like,
yeah, they can't
there's really no him. Way he can do that.
Yeah.
Right.
And I really liked the way they played it, that so many parties were involved with it. And that, I mean, we saw that. I mean, I do think that I think Javi is dead. I think Javi might be dead.
Yeah.
Ben.
I hope he is. I hope Javi's dead because the dog ate his face.
No, he died. The dog attacked him. Yeah. That doesn't mean he's, well, I don't
the
know.
The dog ate his
dead.
Face.
Yeah.
I hope
he's
dead.
Hard, but it doesn't mean, I don't know that it honestly makes him dead.
Listen,
I mean,
for Javi's sake, I hope
same,
he's dead.
Because the same reason that AJ does, that you can't have that happen and not have him dead. Anyway, there's Ben. There's all this going around. I kind of liked the way that I like that people have chosen sides, and that's
yeah.
got to play out next season. I like that, you know, I like that Alex has chosen a side. I mean, it's very interesting. I like that. So I really like that Josie chose a side. Like, we saw Josie.
Well, we knew what Josie was going to do.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, we already
well,
knew.
Well, we knew, but we didn't know. Like, I kind of like the way that they played it, like Josie was feeling, like, grateful to the nuts and bolts crazy people, and she's like, oh, I want
yeah.
to see what I can
like
do.
That.
She's like, I want to see what I can do. I'm feeling really powerful, blah, blah, blah. But when push came to shove, she chose to, you know, go with mm-hmm. our people. So I like the way that played.
I really thought she was going to go after Melanie, though. I really thought she might, but I think what they did worked better.
Here's
well,
the
that,
question.
You know, that's
you
what I
Melanie's
thought, too.
Dead or alive?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'll get to that
matter.
In a minute. It doesn't matter. Well, all right, here's my thing. For right now, Melanie is dead. And the reason I say Melanie is dead, and I, you know me, Karen, no body, no dead. This is the one time I believe that does not apply, simply because, and this is a big complaint on other shows that we have, even if she's alive, there is no way she ever regroups with everybody, because how? They are on a train circulating the world. Even if she is somehow still alive, she is never going to get back on that train, because they went there, she wasn't there, they're back on the train, and they're going. And then Snowpiercer's going to hook back up with Big Alice. There is no way that they are driving down the track somewhere at one point and go, oh, look, there's Melanie. No, it can't happen. And if it does happen, it's going to piss me the hell off. So this is the one time, yes, Melanie is dead. She leaves Alex that note. I truly believe that she's not going to write that letter to Melanie or to Alex if she's hiding out somewhere trying to survive. She's going to leave in the note, hey, come see if my body is still alive.
Here's the one thing I don't believe. Here's what I don't believe. So we saw, you know, Alex had the notebook. Melanie wrote blah, 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 and Melanie says, listen, I know that you can't come for me. I'm gonna connect the power cells to whatever, right? And she says, listen, so now that I've set this up, I'm going to walk out into the white to die. That's the part I don't believe. I do not believe that Melanie would just walk out into the white snow to die. And to me,
that's
the one thing that is...
Yeah,
cause
because that's implying believe... she went out to go after the train and then came back again.
No, I think
which
it's implying
weird.
That she went out to commit suicide.
Well, no, she actually...
I think it's implying that she went out to die. To me,
right,
that's
but that's
not...
what
I believe it.
And she was going after the train the first time, which makes me think she had to have come back again. And then left
yes.
the second
yes.
time.
She
had to.
She did, yeah.
Okay, that's
yes,
what
yes.
I
believe.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reason okay. I believe it is because she's going to die anyway. There's not enough... to sustain her. She has no food. She ate all her rats. There's no heat. So she can either just sit on the floor and wither up and wait to die, or she can go out. And I mean, it's a bad thing as cold as it is outside, but at least, you know, I mean, at least she's outside and it's pretty. And, you know, the last thing she'll ever see is maybe the, you know, if she dies at night, she'll see the northern lights maybe. If it's during the day, maybe she'll see a nice sunset or something. I don't know. But it's a hell of a lot better than dying inside that musty, dark building.
I agree, but
that's
never,
why I believe it.
I don't believe that she was, as she wrote, like, I'm going to walk outside and die. I also feel like
it's more
we
like,
never
don't come
saw,
after me.
I also feel like we never saw Leighton or Alex say, oh, my God, there's a geothermal place here where they're, like,
you know, we saw the whole part where Melanie survived because of the geothermal heat and all that, and we never saw...
Well, that's where I thought she was.
Exhaustion of that. I thought she was, too.
Well,
that's
why
she find her in there.
Well,
I guess
Layton stuck his head in
there.
He
had his hard drives plugged into it, and that was
But here's the thing.
Because you're right, the geothermal would have stayed warm, not just gave off only X amount of electricity and then died. That
doesn't
make sense.
But here's the thing. If that's what she did, if that was her, if she's sitting, you know, where the geothermal is,
they would have seen her.
Why not put that in the note? Why not say, hey, there's this little cavern that I found with geothermal heat. Come get me.
I don't know. Here's the main thing to me, that Jennifer Connelly died off screen. And to me, that's not a way that that character, like, first of all, we always talk about how if you don't see a body, they're not dead.
Right.
And she, like, she had no even kind of a death scene. Like,
yes,
is that
I agree. I came to the conclusion that you can only have two big stars on one TV show at a time, otherwise the show implodes. You can't have Sean Bean and Jennifer Connelly on at the same time. You can only have them on for so many scenes together, and then one of them has to go.
Oh, yeah, maybe it'll go. But I was going to say, though, I don't know why. I still from the beginning have had this kind of weird thing, and I said this before, but I also said it that the snow shouldn't have been melted. You guys thought it was nuts. So that's all I got to say. But
what do you mean?
I still for some reason think at the end of last season I said that there shouldn't have been snow, and then we finally all agreed that it was probably just that they did something stupid. And I remember saying, what if that you can live there because there's snow? I mean, you can't, but I still kind of wonder that it's possible that, like, as much as they made the train, that there's like some group of people or something that went underground that's like surviving somehow, like in the geothermal layers of, you know, underground, that somehow find her. I don't know. That was kind of my
possible, but
I didn't think she's dead. And I will say, if you want to know spoilers and you want to find out whether or not she said, read the article. But regardless of, you know, what the article says and what I found out after, I definitely, before I read anything, I think that somehow she survived. I think maybe somebody found her. Maybe it's just hope, you know. I don't know.
I think that's actually, like, not the most important thing of this episode. Like, we saw a lot.
No,
it's not. We saw what happened with Miss Audrey. We saw what happened with...
And yes, we finally got a definitive answer with Audrey. She got Wilfordized. But you know what?
Yep.
I don't blame her. I don't blame her one bit. I blame Layton because when they came up with this whole plan to put her on the inside, she said, this is not going to end well. She told them this is not a good idea.
She's a little bit of a blame.
Because
she gets some of the blame.
She talked to her.
But she did tell them, listen, this is not a good idea. And it wasn't.
She did say, she did say that she wasn't sure she could handle it. And the whole dinner situation, like we saw the way that this whole episode really was very, the first hour especially, was very upsetting to me and disturbing because of the way that we saw Wilford sort of torture everybody. And we saw the way that he, you know, the way he treated Zara, the way he treated Till, like the way he treats Till, like he says to Till, like, you're my advisor, and then he kills all those people, right? He's trying to break her. He's trying to break everyone. He's not a leader. He's a dictator. We learned that he's going to probably kill most of the people on the train.
Karen, he's not just a dictator. He's an old white dictator with a train set.
I
still don't know that we absolutely know that Audrey was 100% on his side, because I feel like he's watching her talk all the time, and what she said to Zara,
there's no way
Zara is like, he's going to kill you. I don't know.
Nope.
I think she's totally wasn't when she gets back over there. But,
no, she's she's totally... Totally on his side.
He was so high.
Till knocked her the fuck out.
I mean, she's kind of saying, Zara, like, come on my side. She's not defending Zara. She's kind of saying, Zara, come to our side.
If you don't come to this side, you're going to die, and then he's going to kill you. Not necessarily that she agrees with it.
I mean,
she's going along with it, but I don't know that she wouldn't jump ship if she could.
I think she's already. But they haven't really played. I mean, she's pregnant, and so that puts her in a privileged position. But I think they've really not played that the way they kind of could on the show.
Either way, I don't think it matters. She's probably going to say she was with them either way.
Let me just say,
because they have her.
I still don't trust Zara.
I think
when they get back to Snowpiercer, or when Snowpiercer gets back to the rest of the train, I think Zara is going to be sitting right by Wilford.
Yep.
Yeah, she's going to become the new. I can't think of her name now. I lost her. I lost my train of thought, but she's going to become the new Audrey. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I agree with you. Zara would do anything to save herself.
I thought what I thought was great. Yep. And we complain about this with a lot of shows, but because they don't do it right, the first hour ends. Ruth is going into the compost. Alex is in the brig, and Javi's on Alice. And coincidentally, and it makes sense because Wilford is trying to separate them all, kind of divide and conquer. And the ironic thing is, by doing those things, he puts people in place for Layton's plan to actually work. But it makes sense for what Wilford does. It doesn't feel like those things were done just so that they were in the right places for Layton. It actually made sense for what Wilford was doing. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I'm going to refer to Ruth as Warrior Ruth because of her. First of all, she can't count. Because Layton's like, we go on three. And he's like, one, two. And she's like, And
I don't
goes,
think
if you're trying
she's
going to
have trouble accepting what she did, though. I think it's going to come back because she was shocked at first.
I think she's going to be okay simply because she's already gone through that with when she, the bad stuff
That's
that Melanie had her do. We saw that her dealing with that throughout this season and when it kind of, resonated with her and everything. I think in this instance, it's a little different simply because they were fighting for their lives. And I think she might have a new appreciation for the Paleys.
There's no way Ruth would ever go back.
There's no way she'll go back. I don't mean that in any way.
No, definitely.
We've seen her have a thing where she's like, she put people's arms out the window and cut them off. And now, she's really regretting what she's done. She really sees the more, she's come around to the whole rebellion, not the rebellion, but the idea of a more democratic way of living there, right? Like she's changed her. She can never go back to that.
Layton has proven once again, he is great with the rebellion. Now when they get back, somebody else needs to be the leader. Somebody else needs to be the leader. Once again, great rebellion.
Yeah.
So here's my question. Season 3, we know we're getting one.
Yep.
Have they said it's the last season, I hope? Or are they planning on more? I don't see how you get past season 3. I feel like season 3, you take a couple episodes, it's going to take 2 or 3 episodes to get for Snowpiercer to catch up and get back with Big Alice. Then you have the standoff between them and Wilford. I think they overtake Wilford and we kind of have the whole thing again where then Wilford breaks out, but instead of trying to manipulate things, he just hit him and whoever still are on his side, they go full force at it. There's a big fight. Wilford finally dies. And that's that. They go to one of the quote-unquote warm places and they get off the train. I'm wondering also maybe
before the weather is habitable. That was also my question, unless they have like a big time jump at the end or something.
I think those warm areas that they were talking about are warm enough that they are going to need winter coats and shit, but it's survivable.
That's why I said I still wonder that there's maybe like people underground there or something.
Which
we don't
is possible.
Know about. Like there could be
my point is I kind of wonder, you know, I mean, how dramatic do they go with the finale? I mean, Snowpiercer could crash and they have no choice but to get off the train, but as long as they're in one of those warm areas, they'll be fine. People are going to die. Not everybody's making it out of the season. And then this is what I would like to see. This is why I was kind of holding off on what I was saying about Melanie. I want the last shot of the last episode to be like, you know, everybody, you see the finale for Snowpiercer, and it's just kind of like one of those, it looks like kind of like, you know, an ending type thing where they're just like running the camera along the snow and how pretty everything is, and it's kind of a somewhat happy ending, and then it like comes up and over this one hill or something, and then you like, you see Melanie is alive and that she found one of these warm places and she's been, you know, living by herself, survived the whole time, and then credits.
I mean, well, I have to say that, like, I think that Melanie deserves an on-screen death. And I'm not sure, like, do I think she's dead? Do I think she's alive? I mean, I think it makes sense she's dead, but I don't believe that Melanie... When
they
you
could just bring
when,
her back to shore, die too.
Well, I think that when Alex read her diary, and she says I'm going to walk out into the snow, I do not believe that Melanie would just walk out into the snow, and I don't believe that Jennifer Connelly might have said, "Look, I'm done with the show." I think Melanie deserves an on-screen death, and I just don't think this is the end of her. And I've read some things. But I think in terms of what we saw this week, not.
Yeah, I agree with you. She wouldn't just walk out into the snow, but I think she would say that so her daughter didn't risk her life going after her, is what I was going to say. Like,
yes.
I'm not saying that she's alive or dead, but I think that she would say that just so they didn't try to come. Because I totally agree
Maybe,
with that.
Yeah.
She's not like that. And what about, as I was saying, looking at this one recap, one thing I thought that was funny was I never want to call him the right thing, but the one that's from Van Helsing, he's like, "Let's go make a coup." That was funny.
Oh, Bogey, yeah.
I don't see his full name again.
Bogey, yeah.
He's funny. What did you guys
he's
think
be
about?
In bad shape.
I mean, we're talking about that dinner. I was going to say, what did you guys think about? I'm never going to remember his name, but the guy that
tells
David, he got up and started playing the piano. I mean, he kind of just like, I don't know, made the best use of the situation because he's like, why should I keep you? And it's like, he didn't want to tell him how he got there or anything. It's like, no matter what he said, it would have been bad. I thought that was kind of smart that he just got up and started singing or playing it and singing. He was also really good, too, if that's really him singing. I'm not sure how it was really necessarily relevant, but he was good at it.
That was an unexpected musical moment.
Yeah.
It was. I think maybe that he understands.
They have to be useful.
Well, for a little bit, where he says, like, why should you keep me? And he sings. Like, I think that Wilford, who wants to have a certain kind of a life on that train, I mean, I do think that Osweiler really gets that. Like, you know, like, Wilford keeps people alive for random reasons. And if you can, like, play to his pleasure principle, maybe you can get that. It also surprised me because we know that guy is a, like, for us as the audience, we know he's a horrible person and he's got this beautiful talent, which really surprised everyone, including LJ, who has.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really sure why Wilford keeps her around. Like,
he knew she was full of shit. That's the thing that I like, that he's like, so you're saying that you did do it? And, like, she's just so dumb, she doesn't even get that she basically admitted to murdering the people.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I didn't like it because he treats everyone else the same way. Like, he treated Till equally as badly. Like, he grills her. But I think ultimately I didn't love it because we've known for weeks and weeks that we hate this character. And I'm not sure that, like, him having this creepy dinner party to me was a little boring because I already know everyone at that party. I know how creepy it is. I know what's going on. I just felt like a little bit like, I'm not sure why the story continues to elevate his craziness, which I already understand. right? Sometimes I feel like, do I need a whole dinner party to get this? I get it. But I thought it was kind of good, actually, because the other characters, who were all creepy and weird. I hate LJ. I hate LJ. Why is LJ still around? Can she please be killed? Wow.
I love that when she made her little proclamation there, and then Wilfred's like, so you were guilty. And she's like,
Yeah,
she's so dumb she didn't even get that she just admitted to it.
Yeah.
That was great, yeah. So, all right. So we have to wait now a year for, not a year, but till next year.
Yeah.
Right? They're in production now. So great. It was a great, oh my God, this is really one of the best season finales I've seen this whole year. Loved it. Can't wait. But it's going to be a year, probably. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
So until then,
yep.
We have a shorter show next week. All right. So next week a little shorter, but All right.
Yep. And you guys should, I told you, I think you should try the irregular, see if you like it. Well, but like I said, the first episode was a little bit slow getting into it, but
I didn't watch,
really good.
I didn't watch any of the other shows that are connected to it, so.
No, it's not connected to anything. It's just based on this, like, original Sherlock, kind of a little bit. It's just got Sherlock and Watson in it, but they're, like, not the main characters, and it's nothing like any of the other. I was going to tell you, but if I tell you that, that'll take part. But it's not like anything else that's on. It's all about them and about their group. But I don't know. It's like paranormal, demon, supernatural stuff going on. So
okay.
I don't know. I liked it. But like I said, the first one's a little, compared to the other ones, I had trouble getting into it. But after I did, I really liked it. So there's that. What else? I feel like there's something else. Other than, like I said, Van Helsing's coming back. I want to say the 11th.
April
16th, like the 14th,
I think.
Something around that. Okay, yeah. I said it's like something like that week anyway, that it's coming back. Fear the Walking Dead's coming back.
All right.
Talk about.
All right, ladies.
All right, we'll talk about next week. All right.
Until next week.
Yep. Okay. Bye-bye, guys.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
See ya.
Good night, folks.
Bye.
Have a good
one.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. And happy Easter.
Yes, happy Easter.